Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello, friends, and welcome back to Burning Hearts with me, Rachel Herbeck. We are diving in again to a conversation with Bishop Bob McClory on the book of Ephesians. And as we dive into this episode, he and I are discussing there how he chews on God's word, how he dives into God's word and lets the Holy Spirit actually speak to him. And we talk about how the Holy Spirit can speak to us. And so that's where we are in the conversation. Enjoy today's episode.
I love that example, too, and how you're giving multiple examples of how to engage with God's word, because I think sometimes we can, you know, get, and this can be sometimes something we do as Catholics, we get in, like, achievement mode, you know, where it's like, I got to check the boxes, you know, and I got to read, I got to get through something, or I got to read all the things, I got to get through my devotions, and then I got to get through the things that I'm reading, and so I love, like, just being able to follow the lead of the Holy Spirit on where am I going? And I'm staying in this passage. I'm staying in Romans. I'm continuing on here. And we just did, I had a group of girls that are juniors in college, and we had a group over the summer. And then they were like, we want to continue into the year. And so for Advent, they were like, can we go read through Romans? They wanted to read through Romans.
Yes.
And so they just would all read. They would read a couple chapters every day, and then we would FaceTime once a week. And it was amazing because there is a good amount of Romans that's dense, you know. And they would be like, "Okay, I don't necessarily understand what Paul's talking about here or here. I don't understand the intricacies of the law or all these things." But the Holy Spirit was penetrating their hearts and leading them and guiding them. And so while it was like, "Okay, I don't understand all of the language that's going on here. I don't understand every single intricacy." The Lord was changing them through the power of the Holy Spirit that was revealing what the Holy Spirit wanted to reveal to them through the reading of the book. You know, so I think it's just amazing that you bring that up, because I think so many times we can be like, I don't understand everything. And as Bishop mentioned, it's so good to, you know, look up commentaries and get information and all of that kind of stuff. But I think the baseline too is just that the Holy Spirit, having that confidence that the Holy Spirit wants to speak to you. That the Holy Spirit wants to speak to you in God's word in a different way, maybe that he'll speak to me or that he'll speak to Bishop, but that the Holy Spirit is leading you and guiding you. And what we're going to talk a little bit today about the spirit of revelation, you know, that comes upon us and allows us to see Jesus. But I think just each and every one of us growing in that confidence to say, yeah, I'm not going to necessarily play Bible roulette, but I can, you know, in God's word, in the Mass, in God, you know, and go, maybe going through the New Testament or taking one book at a time. God does want to speak to me. You know, he does want to speak to me.
And I think just, you know, to build upon that. So, of course, as I mentioned, I, you know, I'm immersed in scripture in a different way with the readings that are given to us that I preach on. But I think what you're doing today is very helpful in that what the church presents to us in the Mass can be a little compartmentalized and having a kind of entering into the scripture in a way that you stick with all of it. Because sometimes, you know, just based on kind of the fluidity of the Mass and other things, there can be little passages that are kind of not contiguous because of the pattern. Also, just for Catholics, you know, now this isn't true of daily Masses, but for Sunday Masses, unless it's a particular focus solemnity other than the Sunday solemnity, what you'll find is the first reading, the Old Testament, there is a connection to the gospel passage. So like you should be able to look at the Sunday readings and say, you know, these are presented to us because there's some commonality. What's interesting is for the most part, the second reading, which is the epistles in the New Testament, that has a different cycle.
Sure.
And so even as a homilist, you kind of one of the things is like, okay, like the second reading wasn't chosen specifically to connect to these other two. And so what is the Lord revealing to me in that? And that's also where there's a lot of fluidity and so on. So when you look at the Sunday readings, you know, again, the Old Testament and the Gospel, there should be some parallel that you can see, you know, something in the Old Testament that is then fulfilled in the Gospel. But then kind of the wild card is St. Paul and the epistles.
He's always the wild card.
Because it's kind of not synced in the same way. And that's kind of a bit of the challenge and the fun as a preacher to say, well, how can I make this connection?
Right. What is it? I did not know that. That's super interesting. Well, I would let's take a few minutes.
Sure.
I would love to get into God's word. And you were telling me, Bishop, you know, we asked, this is so funny because we asked him to come on the show basically when he was already packed and ready to go en route to the ship, essentially.
I was all ready, and in fact, I had some events before, and so I was getting ready for this Good News Cruise, and books are pretty heavy, and I'm still like an old school book guy. Like, I know I can do it digitally, but I still like books, and I had a vacation a while ago where I had like three books. I'm like, okay, I'm only going to bring one book, and this book was given to me by actually one of my priests for Christmas, and I thought, I'm going to bring this book, and it's a spiritual book, and it'll give me some ability to reflect. So I was already on my way. Rachel got a hold of me to be on the show, and I knew it was focused on the Bible, and I said, oh, well, what book are you going through?
Yeah.
And she said, Ephesians, St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians. The one book I brought with me is The Vision of Ephesians.
Isn't that wild?
By N.T. Wright. So just to show you how the Holy Spirit works.
He has a great book on Romans,
so,
too.
Yes, and so I was like, Rachel, this is incredible. The only book I brought was literally a commentary on St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians. And I come here, and you say, we're going on Ephesians.
Yes,
so anyway,
perfect. The
so
Holy
praise,
Spirit, the
praise
Holy
the Lord.
Spirit knows. The
yeah.
Holy Spirit does. That's so great. So we Vision Party prayed for us, and so we're going to start in verse 15, and we're actually just going to go read that chunk to the end of the chapter. So if you want to follow along on your phone or on the handout that they did, or if you just want to listen, Bishop, would you just be able to read for us 15, just kind of proclaim 15 through the end of chapter 1?
Certainly. This is a reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 15 to 23. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your heart enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power in us who believe, according to the working of his great might, which he accomplished in Christ when he raised him from the dead and made him sit at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he has put all things under his feet and has made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Amen. Every time we've been reading a chunk in the past couple days, we're like, we could spend the entire week on this on this one paragraph. You know, we're going to be on the ship for 10 years, I keep saying, by the time we get through Ephesians.
No, I asked Rachel where we're going to be. She says, oh, I think, well, you don't know if you know, Ephesians 2 or 3 or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're on Ephesians 1, so it's great.
But it's just so rich. It's like every single line from Paul. And so just starting, Bishop, is there anything as we're reading this that's just the Holy Spirit is striking you, is pointing out to you?
Well, I think, you know, of course, there's a little bit of a background. Paul would have been writing this while he himself was in prison.
Yeah.
And he sent out these letters to the various communities. And, you know, with Ephesians, a little bit of the background would be, though it's written to this community, it's not quite the same way as some of his other epistles where he's addressing kind of like specific challenges or problems or things. Right. And so this is just much more, you know, Paul saying, I know that you are faithful to the Lord, that I've heard of your faith in the Lord and your love toward all the saints. And so he gives thanks. And I think that spirit of thanksgiving, I find this particularly in Philippians 4, which is one of my favorite passages. But I think looking at those who inspire you, seeing how they have faith in Jesus and how they love others, is something that should prompt in us a spirit of thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And I think for so many people, it's easy to look at the people in the world in your life who might bring you down and kind of, we have to give appropriate attention to that. I'm not saying we should dismiss it, but I think that spirit of thanksgiving, and St. Paul always reminds us of that. I mean, he always calls us to look at those things that are worthy of praise and to acknowledge them. So for me, you know, these passages, there are several of them in St. Paul where I say, you know, the Lord, you have given me so many beautiful witnesses in my life. You know, my family, some dear friends, people who inspire me. And I can look at them and just say, Lord, thank you.
Yeah.
Just thank you for the gift of them, for their faithfulness. And so that's really, and he says, so I don't only not cease to give thanks, but remembering you in my prayers.
Yeah.
And so to thank and to pray, to say I'm so grateful, and now I'm going to continue to lift them up in my prayers. Right. And that's a beautiful way to enter into any of our time of prayer, to start with what you're thankful for, even before you get to the litany of all your needs, you know, to just say, I'm grateful for all these things.
Yeah.
And that lifts us up. And then we say, and I'm going to turn to prayer for them and for others.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think, too, as you're saying that, it's also Paul. I love that we've been talking about the last couple of days, how he, you know, he's writing from prison and he's giving thanks. He's practicing gratitude and praying while he's in incredibly unideal circumstances, you know, and I know for me so often I'm like, it's easy for me to give thanks when things are flying high, you know, when I feel like everything's going well and I'm able to see the blessings. But if I was in prison, I feel like it would be hard for me to give thanks, you know, it'd be like, hey guys, get me out of here, you know, like what's going on, you know, and he's and this is what's most important to him. He's writing, he's saying, I'm thinking of you, I'm praying for you. And then I love when he goes in 17 and he's saying, hey, this is the first thing I'm praying for you. And this is what I'm praying for you. Not that administratively you would get it all together, you know, that all of these dominoes would fall and that you would grow in X, Y, and Z way. He's saying, no, I'm praying for a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Can you speak into that a little bit, Bishop? Because that harkens back to Isaiah too as well. You know, he's talking about, you know, wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God, you know.
It's incredible. As a bishop, I'm given the opportunity, of course, the privilege of conferring the sacrament of confirmation. Mm. And I always think about what I'm praying for and what the Lord is using me for the young people and older people who I'm confirming. And part of that is that that spirit of wisdom would be imparted to them. And so it's a particular grace. It's not only conferred in the sacrament of confirmation. I mean, it is. But I mean, we always ask for a greater outpouring of that. But really, that sense of that others would have wisdom, but also understand the revelation of the knowledge of Jesus Christ himself, which is just so incredibly transformative in the life of the believer. And, you know, we read this now, you know, in the year, as we're recording this, 2026. And so we read it with Christianity having penetrated the world, obviously, in an incredible way. But I think particularly, you know, St. Paul is writing this. I mean, they say probably in Ephesus, you know, there would have been more kind of home churches, you know, maybe from even like 5 to 30 people, just about 10 of them or so. So, like, these are folks who probably didn't have particular status at that time. Sure. You know, they wouldn't necessarily have had wealth and prestige. And so he's giving this incredible word to them that now we, you know, we go into churches and we're established and we can kind of see the way that this is penetrating the whole world. But for them, this would have been certainly a word of encouragement in a very kind of small, fragmentary way at that time, which I think is a little bit remarkable as well as we reflect upon this. But yes, to really know Jesus Christ, I mean, there's no greater gift that one can have than that encounter with Jesus.
Thanks so much for joining me, friends. Join us again tomorrow as we continue with Bishop McClory. God bless.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and at RenewalMinistries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burak's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.